From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thanks for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. Every Friday, Movie Mike McGranahan comes in, and he has his review each week, and we talk entertainment news. We'll start out with the review, The Call of the Wild.
The Call of the Wild is based on the classic novel that most of us were forced to read in middle school. It's about a dog named Buck that's kidnapped, or should I say dognapped, from his home and forced to pull a mail delivery sled in the Yukon. When that gig ends, he teams up with a grieving man, played by Harrison Ford, who wants to go off the map in an effort to heal from a past tragedy. Together, they have a lot of adventures that bring them close and help both of them to grow. The Call of the Wild does an excellent job capturing the strong bond that can develop between people and dogs. Long stretches of the story are just Ford and the canine, and it works because there's real heart to the relationship between them. The movie also has some exciting action scenes, including an attempt to outrun an avalanche, a herring trip down whitewater rapids, and an encounter with a bear. Of course, using a real dog for this sort of thing would be too dangerous, so a computer-generated dog was used instead. It's a little distracting how the film anthropomorphizes Buck at times, and the CGI used to create him isn't always 100% realistic. That issue aside, The Call of the Wild is a fun, thrilling, and touching movie about a man and his canine companion. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 Jack Londons.
And Jack London? Why Jack London?
He was the author of the original book, The Call of the Wild.
Okay, see, if I remember that from my youth, I would know that. All right, fabulous. Okay, so 3 Jack Londons. Mm-hmm. I always think of any half-decent movie with a dog is going to be absolutely positively enchanting. This accomplishes that?
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, normally this is not the sort of thing I enjoy the most. The movie is very old-fashioned. It feels like one of those Disney nature adventures that they used to make in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. And that was never really a big thing for me. But I went in and I sat down, and I actually found this movie really relaxing, even though it's exciting. It's just such a nice movie and a pleasant movie. And the performances are good, and the themes are heartwarming. And I found myself just really relaxing for 2 hours as I watched this. It was a real nice surprise.
I saw the trailer, and that's Harrison Ford in there?
That's Harrison Ford, yeah.
That's crazy. He does a fabulous job. Well, as
he's
you
great
would expect,
in this.
I guess, yeah. And the dog. So let's dig into the dog. There is, what's the dog's name?
Buck.
There's no Buck in the world. This is always a computer.
It's a computer-generated dog, which they had to do because there are too many scenes that you couldn't put a real animal in. It would just be life-threatening, and people would be upset. So they used a computer-generated dog. And as we saw in The Lion King last year, CGI has gotten good enough that you can make an animal that is, you know, 98% photorealistic. It was the 2% here that kind of threw me off at times. But, you know, it didn't kill the movie. It's just slight distraction.
I think a typical viewer will catch it, though.
I think so. I mean, what they do, and you know, to be more specific of what I'm talking about here, there are times when, for example, the dog makes a comical face the dogs can't actually do. And the dog in this movie seems to be aware that Harrison Ford's character has a drinking problem, and at one point he takes his bottle and tries to hide it.
Okay.
So, you know,
here,
there are certain things like that that are just not realistic for an animal, and that was where it pulled me out of the movie just slightly. You know, not enough to kill the entertainment value, but there were a couple times I was like, okay, that's just not convincing.
Well, I saw in the trailer one point where the dog Harris is doing something, and the dog raises one eyebrow.
Right.
Like, what the heck are you doing?
Right.
So that's it, huh?
Yeah, that kind of thing. And like I said, it's not a fatal flaw, but it was just enough to pull me out of the movie occasionally.
And what might bump it up to another half a notch here in your good reviewing?
Cutting that kind of thing out or minimizing that a little bit more. You know, there's just too many times where it does that. It anthropomorphizes Buck, makes him seem human almost, and that just pulled me out a little bit.
And does the story need that, though, to glue those two together even farther?
Not really. They're trying to do what a lot of family-oriented films do. They're trying to put in some humor to leaven the more intense scenes in it, and they're trying to be funny and trying to make sure the kids are entertained. entertained at all times, and that's one way to do it. I'm not sure that's necessarily the best choice if you're going to adapt The Call of the Wild, which is a classic novel we're all familiar with. But like I said, it's not a serious flaw. It's just a minor little thing. The movie's still fun and well worth seeing.
And Buck the computer-generated dog going to become a series, a franchise even?
We'll see how this does. I mean, the issue for this movie, it actually opened way better than anybody expected. It did about $23, $24 million since opening weekend. But it has a $100 million plus price tag. So this movie's got a long way to go to achieve profitability. Whether or not there will ever be a follow-up depends on how it does at the box office. And I think it's going to have a hard time hitting that mark just because the bar is so high there.
All right. Yes. Yeah, so, well, keep an eye on that. Let us know from time to time if it pops into your head how The Call of the Wild is doing. Three Jack Londons. Author Jack London is the namesake there for The Call of the Wild. Some other entertainment news. Let's see. Spielberg's not going to do Indiana Jones 5?
Yeah, this is interesting. It was announced a couple months ago that there is going to be an Indiana Jones Part 5 that's going to shoot, I believe, next year. But this week it was announced that Steven Spielberg has decided not to direct it. It'll be the first one he didn't direct. He's going to be heavily involved as a producer, and his fingerprints will still be all over it. But they're currently in talks with James Mangold to direct. And James Mangold, I have to say, is one of the most underrated filmmakers in Hollywood, although his most recent film, Ford vs. Ferrari, was nominated for Best Picture this year. But he's a really, really good, interesting director. Some of his other films are Girl Interrupted and Logan. So, really interesting guy, can do the action and everything. I think he's a great choice to take over if Spielberg's not going to do it. But right now they're in talks, so we'll see what happens. But losing Spielberg for an indie film is kind of a major deal.
Okay, so him as a director, Mr. Mangold, he makes great films that kind of don't really attract a ton of attention, but the films do precisely what they were intended to do?
Yeah, you know, I have this theory that when people talk about great directors these days, they talk about directors who have a very signature visual or dialogue style. Quentin Tarantino, Wes Anderson, Christopher Nolan, people like that. But to me, some of the most interesting filmmakers are the ones who can adapt their style to whatever story they're telling. And directors like that aren't as appreciated much anymore. James Mangold is definitely one of those. There's a big difference between Girl Interrupted and Ford versus Ferrari, or Kate and Leopold, another movie he directed, and Logan. So he is able to kind of adapt what he does for each story so that you wouldn't necessarily sit down and know automatically you were watching a James Mangold film. With a Wes Anderson movie, you know within 30 seconds it's a Wes Anderson movie because the visual style is so distinct.
All right, yeah. Girl Interrupted is making the rounds on the cable channels. It must be changed.
Yeah. Or good movie and filmed at Harrisburg State Hospital, in case people have forgotten that.
Oh, that's right.
Filmed
locally. That's good trivia.
Yeah.
All right, well, now I am concerned about this coronavirus. I wasn't before, but now I am because my Mission Impossible debut, which I think is next summer, 2021.
Right.
All right, so that might be delayed for the next Mission Impossible?
Yes, Paramount halted production on Mission Impossible 7. It was filming in Venice, Italy, and they've done that out of concerns over an outbreak of the coronavirus. There have been over 150 confirmed cases in that country. So this is the seventh film in the franchise. It was meant to shoot for 3 weeks in Venice, and just out of caution for everybody, they're suspending production. So whether or not that will delay the ultimate release of the film or not, we'll have to wait and see.
Have you heard of other films, maybe not quite as noteworthy at this, than delays and so on?
This is the only one that's come out so far. I would not be surprised if there are more. Certainly, if you look at what happened with the virus in China, it closed down businesses, movie theaters, schools, things like that. So we don't really know what we're in for here. But it's certainly going to take a toll, I would imagine, on other film productions as well.
Well, and we know from your previous conversation, moviegoers in China are part of this international footprint that really drags non-profitable films up into the money-making range.
Absolutely. It's a very important country that way.
So that is really part of this conversation. Mm-hmm. All right. New movies. What's coming up this week?
Okay. Well, we have two movies to talk about. First is The Invisible Man. After staging his own suicide, a crazed scientist uses his power to become invisible and stalk and terrorize his ex-girlfriend. When the police refuse to believe her story, she decides to take matters into her own hands and fight back. So this is obviously leaning even more heavily on the horror end of The Invisible Man than ever before, and stars Elizabeth Moss, who I think is one of the best actresses working today. So I'm really excited to see what she does in this role.
And who's the Invisible Man?
Nobody.
Oh, no kidding.
Because he's invisible. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe you could start out with, you know, you wouldn't even have to introduce him.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. The boyfriend is played by an actor named Oliver Jackson Cohen. But, of course, he's invisible through a large chunk of the film, so.
He's not to be seen. Okay.
Right.
All right. So we just saw an Elizabeth, an Invisible Man movie. What was that, around 2000-ish, something in that range?
The Kevin Bacon movie Hollow Man came out around that time, early 2000s. Yep. And, of course, my favorite Invisible Man movie ever, and I'm sure this will not come as any surprise to anybody, is 1992's Memoirs of an Invisible Man with Chevy Chase, which is one of his most underrated performances. People really should check that out. If you want to see what Chevy Chase can do that you didn't know he could do, check out Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
See, that's where YouTube comes in. When you absolutely positively have to see these great old movies right away, subscribe to YouTube, and that's where you find them often.
Yep.
Movie Mike, which of these new movies will you, which new, is that the only one, Invisible Man?
There's also the anime film My Hero Academia, Heroes Rising, which I screened last week, based on the popular TV show, the anime TV show My Hero Academia. Kind of a fun movie. I didn't know anything about it, but it's fun.
Okay. And which will you see today? Well, you won't, I guess you'll have to go see the
Invisible Man. Yep.
Right, since you've already seen the other one. You just said that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan, his appearance is here, always sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg.